Good morning to each of you. It is, again, a beautiful, beautiful morning and beautiful day to be here. A blessing as we just consider what we've already heard this morning of how our body works and the faithfulness of God through just our body. And yeah, it's just a marvelous thing. The Bible says our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. This morning, I would just like to look at the scripture, throughout the scriptures, at the faithfulness of God. When He promises something, it came to pass. And I would just like to look at that through the Old Covenant and then also throughout the New Testament, a couple different areas, and just to look at the faithfulness of God, that He doesn't back up on His promises. Maybe we could just pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I do come this morning. Thank You for this morning. Thank You for breath. Thank You for life this morning, Father. Thank You for Your Son Jesus, Lord. Thank You for the blood that was shed upon the cross, Lord, for our sins, Father. Thank You, Lord, that this morning, Father, we thank You, Lord, that as Jesus died there on the cross and as He arose again, Father, He told the disciples, Lord, that He will send a Comforter. And this morning, Father, I rejoice in that, the Comforter, that Holy Spirit, Father. You promised Your disciples that You would send the Comforter. And Father, today we can be comforted in that, Lord. We have Your Spirit to speak to us, Lord, and to direct our lives and to our everyday walk of life, Lord, that we can live and move and have our being in You, Father, and walk according to Your will, Father, because of the Comforter. And so this morning I thank You for that. I do ask, Father, that You would just anoint my lips, Lord, Father, that I could speak the things that would be pleasing to You, Father, that this body could be encouraged and lifted up this day, Father, this Sunday, Lord, that You have set here before us, Lord, that we could set our hearts, lay all earthly things aside, Lord, and just set our hearts on worshiping You, Father, this day. So I thank You again, Father. Thank You for Your love, for Your mercy upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." And this morning, we say that God is all-powerful, and He is, but it says there's one thing that He cannot do, and He cannot lie. His promises are true. He cannot lie this morning. And that blessed my heart, because sometimes we as humans, we say things, but we don't go through with them. And I'm thankful this morning that God isn't that way. I'm thankful that He, when He says something, He will move through with it. And it'll come to pass. In Genesis 8:20 to 22, I have quite a few scriptures that I'm going to be reading today, so if you want to, you can turn to them. If you don't want to, it's fine also. Genesis 8, verse 20 to 22. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing, as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And then we are still reaping the benefits of that promise. We have summer, we have winter, we have harvest, we have cold, we have heat. We have all these things of this promise that God made there back there with Noah, that we benefit from. In chapter 9, it says, And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply the earth, multiply and replenish the earth. And so he told Noah and his sons to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I'm not sure if I understand everything there completely, but just to see the faithfulness of God through His promises, couple thousand years later, that we still see this, of just the perfect working of His creation, how the sun comes up in the morning, the moon comes up at the night time, everything is perfect. Then also we have the promise which he made to Noah. Genesis 6, verse 17 and 18. It says, And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, and keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female. We see again the faithfulness of God. He saw Noah's heart. Earlier on in this chapter, it says, Noah, verse 8, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And yeah, verse 9, it says, These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And God saw Noah's perfect heart. And he honored it. And he made a way for him to escape his judgment upon the earth. And today we have a way of escape also from the judgment of God. It is through Jesus Christ. But we need to be found as Noah, a just man and perfect. That our heart is perfect toward the Lord. The thing that I see also in this is we need to have faith. We need to have faith in Him. When He says something, when He told Noah to build an ark, earlier on here in Genesis, I think it was, I'm not sure which chapter I was reading, and it said, it did not rain upon the earth, but there came a mist up from the ground and watered everything, and it brought forth fruit. So it took faith in Noah's part to believe God, to believe what He says is true, to just trust Him. And so it is with us today. We need to walk in by faith, trusting what the word of the Lord says is true. He has a place prepared for each of us. But He says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's heart that each one of us would live with Him eternally. But we have a choice to make, to serve Him and to walk as Noah walked, perfect in heart. In 1 Kings 8, verse 56, Solomon says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel, according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant." 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Then we have the example of Abraham in Genesis 18, verses 9 through 14. It's when the Lord came to Abraham. It said in verse 9, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him." Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" And then he asked the question, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Is anything too hard for the Lord? Sometimes I think of myself. I would say no, but what do my actions say? But I was blessed with, as I was reading here, it says Abraham or Sarah laughed when she heard this. It's almost as if she doubted. But if we go over to Hebrews 11:11, it says, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." So we find her there in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. She judged him faithful to be able to bring to pass what he said. Exodus 19, verses 3 to 6. There's some examples of the children of Israel. Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto yourself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. We see here God, He'd made a covenant with Moses. He promised Moses that if they keep His covenant, they shall be a peculiar people. And the children of Israel were God's people. But today, I'm thankful for Jesus, because He has made us, He has called us to be that peculiar people today. In the Old Covenant, the Israelites, the children of Israel, were God's chosen people. All throughout the Old Covenant. But when Jesus came, He ripped that veil of the temple. It ripped in twain. And it opened up that the holiest of holies, that we can come in to meet with Jesus. We can sup with Him. We can meet with that great high priest, as it says in Hebrews. It says, I don't have the scripture, but it says something about a better high priest. This morning we have a better high priest interceding for us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Deuteronomy 14:2, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto Himself above all nations that are upon the earth. Praise Psalm 135, verse 3 and 4 says, Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. In the Old Testament here, we have many promises of Jesus' coming. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, Isaiah 7, verse 14, it says, Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. We have all these prophecies, all these promises of the coming of Jesus throughout the Old Covenant, and then we see them coming to pass. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." What was the number of that song this morning that we sing? Prince of Peace? 920. Those verses just blessed me this morning. It says, "Prince of Peace, control my will. Bid this struggling heart be still. Bid my fears and doubting cease. Hush my spirit into peace." No, that's the picture, that's the promise that we have of this coming Messiah. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Everlasting Father. He is our Counselor. Verse 3, it says, "May thy will, not mine, be done. May thy will and mine be one. Chase these doubting fears from my heart. Now thy perfect peace impart. Savior, at thy feet I fall. Thou my life, my God, my all. Let thy happy servant be one forevermore with thee." And that is the only way that we can have that perfect peace, if we are one with him. Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 7 says, "He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Here it gives the picture of Jesus suffering. The prophet Isaiah was prophesying of the suffering that Jesus is going to have to face. And also in the New Testament, I don't have the scriptures here before me, but it talks about all they that are godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we can embrace those promises, because those are promises from the Lord. Psalm 22, starting in verse 6, he says, "But I am a worm and no man a reproach of men. But I am a worm and no man a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, and they shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." This morning we can delight in the Lord. We can trust in the Lord, even though he doesn't deliver us out of every circumstance circumstance that we face in life, but He wants us to endure it, endure the with patience the tribulation that whatever we may be facing. It says, for the dogs, in verse 16, for the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. As I was looking at the promises through the old covenant and then considering what the prophets prophesied there, it came to pass in the new covenant. And as we look into the New Testament, we have the promises of His love and forgiveness to us. Hebrews 10, verse 16 and 17. Says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That is the promise that we have. That He will not remember our sins anymore. It says they will be blotted out from Him as far as the east is from the west. It causes my heart to rejoice this morning that the burden of sin, I don't have to carry it on my shoulders anymore. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29, Jesus has these precious words. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' yoke isn't heavy this morning. It's light. And I can testify of that. The burden of sin is heavy. But to bear the yoke of Jesus I can rejoice this morning. It is joyful. Romans 5, verses 1 through 11, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience and experience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That precious promise there, while we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 10. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Sorry. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 to 18. Second Peter 3, verses 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in his epistle, speaking of them of these things, in which some things to be understood, things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also with other scriptures unto their own destruction. But ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, now and forever. We see that we have this promise here of hell, which the earth and everything that is in it is gonna melt away, this coming day of the Lord. But he says, but in verse 13 he says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. John 14, verse 16, 17, and 18. Is the promise of the Comforter. I shared on that, but I'll just read the verses. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And we have that promise this morning of just the Spirit of God just dwelling with you, with us. And this morning I'm thankful that I can walk with the Spirit of God dwelling with me. Ephesians 3, verses 11 to 14 says, according, verse 11 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this promise that we can come to this throne of grace. We can come unto Him boldly, unto the throne of grace, and receive of that spirit of the Spirit of God. And we can just receive of that, and we can come boldly to that throne of grace this morning. But when there's things in our life that are hindering us, we pull back because we are separated from Jesus Christ, and we cannot come to Him because the Spirit cannot dwell where there's unrighteousness, where there's things that does not please the Lord. And so if we are walking in the Spirit, we have that the Spirit of God, the Comforter, with us, then we can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive of the Lord. Psalm 29 verse 11 says, the Lord will give strength unto His people, and the Lord will bless His people with peace. That is the Comforter. He will bless you with peace. You can have peace in your heart today. You can walk with peace in your heart between you and the Lord. Luke 4 verse 18 says the Spirit is where Jesus was in the temple, and He took the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when He opened the book, He found the place where it was written. It's this prophecy that I read in Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. First Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 10. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. We see here again that God did not appoint us to wrath. That is not God's heart. As we just read there in Luke 4. It says He came to preach deliverance to the captives, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and set at liberty them that are bruised. God has not appointed us to wrath. He has not appointed us to that day of judgment. Then I also have a couple scriptures here, the promises of His judgment. In Revelations 21, verse 7 and 8, He says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." These are also promises that have not come to pass yet for each one of us that are in here today. Galatians 6, verses 19 to 21. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." John 12, verse 47 to 50 says, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father has sent me and gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Jesus says He judges no man. We're going to have to give account for this word. He says this word will judge you. But there's good news. 1 John 3:18 to 21 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." We can have that confidence toward God if our heart is not condemning us. But if our heart condemns us, we have to reckon with the Word of God. If the Word is condemning our hearts, then we are going to have to reckon with the Word of God on Judgment Day. Jesus says He judges no man, but this word will judge you. God desires that each of us would have that confidence toward Him. To walk with confidence, we can come boldly, as we read the scriptures earlier, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And the last promise that I would like to look at that Jesus promised us is heaven, eternal life with Jesus, with our Maker. Revelations, I'm just going to read Revelations 21 verse 10 to the end, just the description of heaven and what He has prepared for us if we faint not. Verse 10 of chapter 21, "And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper, clear as a crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the last three gates, on the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breath, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second a sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh a chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut all the day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring forth, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Chapter 22, verses 1 to 6. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were of the healing, were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto us, unto his servants, the things which must shortly be done. These things are true, the word says. And it excited my heart this morning as we look at the first couple chapters of Revelations. In chapter 2, verse 7, he says, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 11, he says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17, it says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, he that receiveth it. This morning I will receive a new name if I am faithful unto the end. And it says, no man will know it except me. And he that over, in verse 26 it says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Chapter 3, verse 5, it says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. Verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Verse 21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Those are faithful promises. He says we'll be able to sit with him in his throne as he overcame. In closing, I have a couple more scriptures here. Hebrews 4, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 4, verse 1 and 2 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Today, by faith, let's take a hold of these things. Believe them. Hebrews 10, verse 19-39. Verse 19 of chapter 10 of Hebrews says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain and fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Second Corinthians 7, verse 1. Says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And then one more scripture. In Matthew 24, verse 13, it says, he that endures unto the end shall be saved. I was just challenged in my own heart and blessed as I looked into the Word of God and the faithfulness of His promises. And may the Lord bless you. Mm-hmm.